We're going to go to Galatians tonight, Galatians chapter number 6, and also put your finger in the book of Psalms, Psalms 55, one verse of scripture that we're going to read there. We're going to read in these two places, and there's a reason for it, and you'll see. I believe it'll be pretty evident, actually, when we read them, but I want to look at this tonight with the Lord's help. Tonight, we're going to consider burdens. We all have to experience bearing burdens and carrying loads. And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight with the Lord's help and by His grace. I just felt the leading of the Lord to go in this direction. So I just ask that you bear with us and we'll see what the Lord has in store. I believe He has something He wants to share with us through His Word. Life has different loads involved for each of us. The Scripture makes clear what we are to do with different burdens that we must carry. There are different things that we're all faced with that we have our own responsibilities, but God is faithful. Thank the Lord for it. He is faithful in the midst of it all. And first here, we're going to look here in the book of Galatians, and we will read after that in one verse in the book of Psalms. And as we turn to the book of Galatians here, Paul has just wrote about the fruit of the Spirit and what it means to be led by the Spirit. And he would even say there at the end of Galatians 5, he's writing there, and he said, if we are led by the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. Now he's going to show us what this looks like, how it looks in the life of the believer. Give us a very practical example. And I want us to look here, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. And if you're there, say amen. Bible says this, Paul writing, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Notice verse 5, the last verse we'll read here in Galatians 6. For every man shall bear his own burden. If you got your Bible still open there and you got your finger in Psalm 55, David here shares one more tactic for tackling the burdens of life. And notice Psalm 55, verse number 22. The Bible says this, David writing, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm going to read that one more time. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Tonight I want to preach for just a little while, if the Lord will help me, on handling life's heavy loads. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you. Give you glory and honor as once again we are gathered in your house. We've sung together the songs of Zion. We've done our best to magnify you both in song and in praise. But now tonight, Lord, as we turn to the Holy Scriptures, I pray that you would take your word and make it alive, Lord. Let it be like a fire shut up in the bones, Lord. And let it come forth like a river. And let it be in accordance with your will that all may be done tonight. Lord, you see each one. You know what we face. You know where we're at. And Lord, you know why you want this message preached. And I pray, Lord, that you'd minister through it tonight. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look here to the Word of God this evening, there are three strategies that I want us to highlight for handling life's heavy loads. First of all, we're going to see that some burdens are best shared. Other burdens are best shouldered. And finally, we're going to look at how other burdens, while still they yet, are best when they are shed. Let's consider, first of all, Galatians 6 for the first two points. First of all, some burdens are best shared. Look with me there. If you got your Bible still open, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, Paul says this. I know we've already read it, but I want to rehearse it in your ears. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want to look at this tonight as we're tackling this issue that some burdens are best shared. And Paul is going to begin here talking about what I will refer to as a ministry of restoration. I'd like to remind each of you here tonight that we are to be not only in the burden bearing business, but we are to be in the burden sharing business. We are to help carry one another's burdens, as Paul declares here. It's not just enough to be willing to bear our own burdens, but we are called upon to look beyond ourselves and help share the burdens of others. I know that this goes against the grain of what the culture today would tell us, that we are all that really matters, but that is not the reality. In the New Testament, we find it over and over and time again. We're to love one another. We're to help one another. We're to provoke one another unto good works. We're to provoke each other unto love. And Paul would use this principle over and time again in his writings. And as he comes here to Galatians chapter number 6, he would say that we're to bear one another's burdens. Paul here is talking to Christians about other Christians. He said, brethren, if any man or woman be overtaken in a fault, we are called upon to restore such a one to in meekness. Now, this is the why I call it the ministry of restoration. This word to be overtaken here is the idea. It means to be surprised by something. It was a hunting term used for unsuspecting prey that was captured suddenly by a pursuer. He says that if you see somebody overtaken by something or captured suddenly by something, he said we are to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That word restore is a very interesting word. It originated in medical terminology in the Greek culture. It means to set a bone that has been broken and it is out of place. If you could picture a compound fracture that must be set back into place before it can properly heal. And that's what Paul says we are to do with one another when we see a break, when we see a problem. We are to help restore that issue. We are to put it back into place, that which is broken. Oh, can I ask you tonight, do we look for opportunities for sharing the load with others? Or do we inadvertently many times add to the problem rather than help take problem away? Oh, many times we do. Oh, Lord, help us. The Bible is filled with stories of men who failed miserably, but by God's grace, they were restored to favor. Oh, think about King David there. He committed adultery. He committed murder indirectly, and there are other things that we could talk about, but aren't you glad that's not where the story of David ends? It doesn't end in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Oh, but rather it goes on there to the end of David's life, and we read the words there in Psalm 51 after he's discovered. He says, oh God, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And God restored him. God blessed him. God put him back into place in spite of the fact that he was broken. We come to the New Testament. We read about Peter. Oh, the impetuous Peter, the one always talking, first to speak up. And there he was. Oh, the night that he was there and Jesus was going to be betrayed, when they're there in the upper room, Jesus is talking about one betraying him. And what does Peter say? I'll never betray you, Lord. I'll go with you even unto death. I will go to prison with you, Lord. Oh, that's how faithful I am. Jesus looks at Peter. He says, you're going to deny me thrice before the cock is going to crow tonight. Oh, in other words, Peter, you're getting ready to fail. But he said, I have done this. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. He said, and when
you are converted, oh, you shall join the brethren. Oh, Peter cursed, he lied, and he denied Jesus. Oh, but aren't you glad that's not where the story ends? Because when Jesus got up on the third day, he said, go get my brethren and Peter. He called him out by name because he realized he's a broken man. He's a man in need of restoration.
Aren't you glad that Jesus is a God of restoration? He isn't a God always looking for retribution. He is a God looking for restoration. And I thank God for that, because there's been a few times in my life, and maybe you don't want to admit it, but I'll admit it behind this pulpit. There's been a few times I've been thankful for that restoration. Not because my sister needed it. Not because my brother needed it. Not because the man across the road needed it. But because I was the one in need of the restoration. And I felt the loving eyes of God as he looked upon me, and he said that all those that confess their sins, they said that he is faithful and just to forgive sins. Oh, these were men who he would have written off, many would have written off, but God restored them. Oh, and with the case of Peter, he was restored by Jesus himself. Now, as I was thinking about this terminology here, to restore, to set a broken bone, I thought about an incident that happened to me. I was probably around 8 years old. Me and my sister, who's 3 years older than I am, were riding in a bucket of my dad's John Deere tractor. I gotta tell you something, that won't want nothing much more fun as an eight-year-old kid. My dad owned 55 acres of land, and I was just a country boy, probably didn't even have shoes on, and I was climbing up there in that bucket. Me and my sister take a ride while my dad go out and do the chores. He let us ride in the bucket of that tractor. Well, the bucket of that tractor, and some of you may know what I'm talking about when I say this, and I'll do my best to describe it, but it's a pretty large tractor, and it has what is called a 4-in-1 bucket on it. And that bucket opens up and closes with hydraulics. It'll actually open up, and we were in the part that would open up, but it was closed at the time. Well, I don't know what went through 8-year-old Shane's head, but I looked down and I saw an opening down there in the bottom of that bucket, and I decided it'd be a good idea to stick my fingers in the opening of that bucket. Bad idea, I know. Trust me, I know all too well that was a bad idea, but I did it anyway. Well, my dad had something on the back of the tractor that he was trying to get off, and the levers, believe this or not, for what works the back of the tractor and what works that 4-in-1 bucket are right next to each other beside my dad. And so he inadvertently grabbed the wrong lever while my fingers were still in that bucket. And so he grabbed the wrong lever, he pulled down on it, and nothing happened behind him, so he pulled it again. And there I am as an 8-year-old kid with my fingers crushed in the bucket of that tractor. I can't stand up because I'm trapped. Oh, he can't see over the top of the bucket. He can't hear me because the engine's running, and there is absolutely nothing I can do but scream and scream and scream because I am in pain and I didn't know what else to do. But you know what? I remember there's one part of the story I hope you ain't forgot yet. I had my sister beside me. And I'll come back to that in a moment. But aren't you glad? There was a few things I'm glad my sister did not do whenever I was there screaming in pain as my fingers were crushed in the bucket of that tractor. And I thought about this, and it's the way my mind works. First of all, I'll tell you this. I sure am thankful that she didn't sit there and lecture me about how inappropriate it was for me to stick my fingers in the bucket of that tractor. You know what? There was time for a lecture, but that was not the time. Oh, Dad could take me down on his knee as he did a day or two later and tell me, I think you've learned your lesson, but don't ever do that again. But that was not the time for a lecture. I was broken and I needed somebody to help me. Second of all, I'm glad that, oh, she didn't just go report what had happened. What if she had just jumped out of that bucket? It's about 5 foot up in there, but she jumped down out of that bucket. She was 3 years old and I was, and ran off and began to tell all her friends about, my brother, a big dummy, he stuck his fingers down the bucket of that tractor and he's up there caught. Can you believe that? I'm glad she didn't just go off and report that to everybody and tell them. Oh, but she tried to get me some help. She tried to help me out when I was hurting. You know what also? I'm glad she didn't just put me down. Oh, you know, go grab the gun. He's no more good. He's crushed his fingers in the bucket of that tractor. Just put him down.
He can't serve anybody with them two fingers. I'm glad he didn't. They didn't decide to amputate my fingers and show up in the office. And before the doctor ever even does x-ray, what if he would say, well, we're just going to cut it off and get rid of the problem? That's not what they did. I have these two fingers. They're a little crooked tonight, but I still got them because they didn't cut them off. Oh, you know what? Also, I'm glad she didn't do. What if she had looked over at me? And this had been terrible. And my sister wouldn't do this. She's a loving person, but for the most part. Well, she looked over at me and said, man, we got in an argument a while ago. I think I'm just going to ignore him. I'm just going to sit here. That's what he gets. She didn't ignore me, but you know what? I'm going to tell the rest of the story now. When she realized what was going on, through my screams and through my cries and through my tears, she realized quickly what was going on, and she jumped up in the bucket of that tractor, and she began to scream out for my dad, say, hey, cut it off! Shane's fingers are caught in the bucket of that tractor. I'll never forget the look on my dad's face. It was a look I'll never forget. All of a sudden, he realized what was going on. He let loose of that lever. He jumped down out of there. He looked at the situation. He grabbed me. And my dad, y'all have seen him. Most of y'all have seen him. He's 6'6". He threw me over his shoulder and he ran me probably a half a mile to the house and never missed a beat. They ran me to the hospital. Oh, there they put my fingers in a splint and I still got my two fingers tonight. And I thank God for that. But you know what? All of those things that I just mentioned that my sister could have done, I've seen people do when they see somebody hurt in the church. They see them hurting, what they do. Oh, well, that don't concern me. I'll just turn the other way. Oh, my. They see somebody broken, and what do they want to do? They'll pick up that telephone and tell everybody about it. Hey, oh, did you see so-and-so? I heard that this happened again. And, oh, boy, I heard it's a real mess. Ooh. Come on. Oh, I've seen it. I've watched it happen. Oh, you know what? I've seen some people do everything that they can to destroy the person while they're down. I heard one preacher say it this way. He put it this way. Christians have a way of crucifying living saints, worshiping dead saints, and shooting wounded saints. And I'd say, you say, Brother Shane, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about things I've seen with my own two eyes. I've been raised in church, and I wish I could tell you I never watched any church hurt, but I'd be lying to you if I told you that. Oh, but I'm here to tell you one thing. There are some responses that I've seen by Christians that had nothing to do with restoration, but it had everything to do with retribution, and people had it on their minds trying to get even rather than make it right. I'll tell you, God's not pleased with that. Oh, but you know what the book of Galatians tells us? Oh, he says that when we see someone broken, when we see somebody hurting, we see somebody carrying a heavy load, we don't go talk about them. We put our shoulder under the load and say, hey, can I help you out? I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to bind together and trust God to move on your behalf. Oh, yes. Sadly, these are some of the very techniques that believers use on each other in times of trouble. They lecture, they gossip, they put down, they cut off, and they ignore. All the while, the brokenness is not healed. You may say, preacher, I'm not sure if I'm qualified for a ministry of restoration. You may not be qualified. What's the qualification of a ministry of restoration? Is it a degree in theology? That's not what Paul says. Is it a 5-year discipleship badge? Not according to Paul. Is it a deaconship? Is it elder status? No, none of these things. You know what he says? He said, ye which are spiritual. He said, why in the world do people act the way that they act whenever they see somebody broken? I'll tell you the problem. They're not spiritual. And I dare say some of them ain't saved. But at very least, they're not spiritual. They're carnal. He said, Brother Shane, does that happen? Yes, it happens. I've watched it, and I say I will stand guard against it as the pastor of this church. It ought not to be. I'll proclaim it from this pulpit, and I'll shout it to the day that I die. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Oh, he goes on to tell us the method of restoration. Not only the ministry, but the method. He said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Meekness is not timidity. It is not shyness. It is not backwardness. You know what it is? It's strength under control. Imagine this. You go in, you need to have a heart procedure, 5-way bypass.
And in walks this big burly man. And as he walks in that room, he's knocking everything over. He's clumsy, can't hardly stand on his own 2 feet. And then he looks you in the eyes and said, "I'm the doctor that's going to be performing your procedure. I don't know about you, but I better get a second opinion. You don't have the finesse to be cutting open my chest. You don't have the finesse to be carrying me down the hallway, much less. Oh, because I don't want that." But then imagine, you walk in, this little frail woman looks at you and she says, "Well, I'll be honest, your case is bad. I've never dealt with anything like this before, and I'm right out of medical school. We'll see how it goes." Neither one of those options would be very good for you, would it? Can I tell you, neither one of those options work when it comes to the ministry of restoration, how we're to restore people. Oh, we're to do so wholeheartedly. We're not to shy away from it. And the spirit of meekness doesn't mean we're shy about it. It means it's power under control. It's the picture of finesse. They would use that word meekness, the Greek form of it, and talk about a horse that had been broken and can now be ridden upon by a rider and would follow the commands of the rider. It wasn't that that horse was weak. It wasn't that that horse was timid. It was that horse had learned to control its power because it had been disciplined. And that's how we are to restore one another, in a spirit of meekness. Power under control. I'm moving forward. We're almost done with this point. What then does he say? He said, "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I'm not going to mention a whole lot there. That's pretty straightforward. He said, you look at somebody else. He said, you restore them in a spirit of meekness. He said, and one of the reasons why is because you yourself can be tempted. And don't think that you're above temptation. I don't care how long you've served God. I don't care how sanctified you think you are. Oh, but I'll tell you one thing. You are not above temptation. That does not mean you have to fall to temptation. Oh, but you are not above being tempted. Oh, but I can tell you tonight, this is the reality of what Paul is speaking of. Then he goes on to share our motivation for this burden sharing that he speaks of. Why would we take upon ourselves the burdens of others when we have our own burdens to worry about? Number one, they're part of the family. Why in the world would I go over here and listen to Sister So-and-so's prayer request and pray earnestly for her? I'll tell you why, because she's my sister in Christ. I can tell you one thing. There's a lot of people that could have been with me in the bucket of that tractor that day when I crushed my 2 fingers. But can I tell you how happy I am it was my sister? Because in spite of all of our faults and our little falling outs and our difficulties, I knew one thing. She was going to do everything she could to make sure I was taken care of and to get me out of that situation, because she's part of my family. And can I tell you tonight, we ought to be the same way when it comes to the house of God. I don't care how little it seems to us. They're part of the family. Let's help bear it together. Let's buck under the load and say, by the grace of God, you don't have to bear that alone, because you're part of my family, because you are in Christ and I am in Christ. We're all part of the same family, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's our motivation. First motivation. Second of all, we're called to fulfill the law of Christ. He said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brother Shane, what's the law of Christ? Well, you have to go back one chapter in the book of Galatians to find this law of Christ. It's found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Number one, I do it because they're part of the family. Number two, I do it because I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. Oh, I'm fulfilling what he said. I am loving my neighbor as myself. And I know if I'm down there broken and bleeding, I don't want somebody to come kick me upside the head. I don't want somebody to go gossip about me. I don't want somebody to go run me down and talk about how, oh, I saw it coming from 100 miles away. You know what I want somebody to do? To reach down in the muck and the mire and say, come here, brother. Come here, brother. I want them to reach down the hands of compassion and love me like Jesus would. Oh, so fulfill the law of Christ. One final thing I want to say about this point. There are some loads, not necessarily sinful loads, that are best shared. You know, I remember when I worked out at the shipyard, it was times we built these units for aircraft carriers, and some of you still work there. You know, I speak of aircraft carriers and submarines. And those units would weigh hundreds of tons. Hundreds of metric tons. And you know what they'd have to do sometime? They'd have to flip those units. They'd have to stack those units. They'd have to move those units. And they had these giant cranes. You say, well, wouldn't it be beneficial to have one big crane over every single shop? Yeah, that would be beneficial. But you know what they oftentimes did? They had multiple cranes lifting the same load. Why was it? Was it because necessarily every load had to be carried by two cranes? No, there was some of them that could have been carried by one. But there are at least two reasons for that, and I want to share it with you. Well, and this is talking about why some burdens are best shared. First of all, the load becomes more manageable when you have multiple points lifting. It becomes more manageable when we have somebody else helping to share the burden. Can I encourage you tonight? You don't have to bear that burden all by yourself, because that burden will become a lot more manageable when you share it with your other brothers and sisters. Not only that, there was another reason that they would do that, so that the load would be more maneuverable. They could maneuver that thing better if they had a crane over here and a crane over there. Because I've watched them take those units, and when they're hooked to two different cranes, they can take and flip that entire unit over because they have more than one lifting point. You couldn't do it if you lifted it from one place. But if you lift it from over here and from over there and from over there, you know what you can do? You can get the maneuverability that you desire. Can I tell you something? There's times that we got situations that not only can we not bear alone, and we shouldn't have to bear alone, but you know what? We can find that those things would be more maneuverable. We'll find that they'll work out a little differently. Oh, they'll work out better when somebody else is helping to bear the burden. Come on now. Oh, at other times they'd hook to those multiple cranes because there was greater maneuverability with two cranes. With more people sharing the load, it becomes more manageable and it becomes more maneuverable. So there's some loads that are best shared, some burdens that are best shared. Second of all, second point tonight, some burdens are best shouldered. Not all burdens can be shared with others. Some of them we have to bear ourselves. He said, Brother Shane, that seems contradictory to your first point. Well, that's not what Paul thought. Notice Galatians 6 and 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now you say, isn't that a contradiction? Oh, Paul contradicted himself. No, verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens. But then in verse 5 says, every man shall bear his own burden. There's no contradiction there whatsoever. The two different words are for two different burdens in the Greek language. Verse number 1, the word for burden is used of a burden which is a heavy load, something that is painful, something that bows you down. But the word in verse number 5 is the Greek word which has the idea of portion or the idea of a backpack. The burden is something, this burden would be something that a soldier might wear when he was, in order to keep his weapons inside of. He'd carry a backpack and put his weapons back there because he needed those weapons at his disposal. It was used as somebody going on a far journey, and they would pack up a sack filled with food and all the necessary items. It was something of utility. Can I tell you tonight, there are some burdens we don't want to give to somebody else because God gave them to us for a reason. In Ephesians chapter number 6, you know what Paul would tell there? He would say this, put ye on the whole armor of God. Can I tell you something about armor? If you've ever seen medieval armor, it's heavy. It's a burden. It has some weight to it. And I can tell you tonight, spiritual armor has some weight to it, but it serves a purpose. If I let my brother carry the armor for me, it's going to do me no good when the enemy comes against me and starts firing his fiery arrows at me. It ain't going to do me no good if I gave my sister my shield and I gave my brother my staff and I let somebody else carry the word of God for me. There are some things we got to bear ourselves, and thank God we get to bear them. Oh, I can tell you something about the Word of God. There's times, there's portions of that Scripture that are a little heavy, and it begins to step on my toes, and it begins to convict me, and it makes me start looking on the inside. But oh, I'm not looking to shirk that burden. I'm not trying to pass it off on the person behind me, because I realize that burden's going to be the burden that sustains me. It's going to be the burden that keeps me. It's going to be the burden that nourishes my soul.
like a traveler on a far journey. I'm not going to throw aside my knapsack that has all my food for the journey. I'm going to hold on to it. And you know what? All of these other unnecessary things I might be carrying along, I might lay that aside if it becomes too heavy. But that knapsack with all my food in it, I'm not going to lay it aside because that's a necessary burden. But you know what? I've seen people do it. They want people to pray for them. Come on, I ain't got a problem praying with you. I ain't got a problem praying for you. But I can't pray without you. Come on. If you ask me to pray and you ask Sister So-and-so to pray, you better be praying too. Because that's a burden that you don't want to shirk onto somebody else. Say, preacher, I just wish you'd preach me the right word. Well, I'm going to do my very best. But can I give you a little friendly advice tonight? You got the same Bible I do. I have no monopoly on God speaking to me. God can speak to you through His Word just like He does me. And you know what? I hope that the messages I preach, I hope they do speak to you. But you know what? You can get up on Monday morning and hear God for yourself as well. That's a burden that you ought not to shirk onto the preacher. It's a burden that we put on our shoulders and say, I'm going to carry it for myself because I know in this burden there is a blessing. Oh, yes. Not all burdens are worth sharing. Some burdens we have to shoulder. Put them on our shoulder and go on and say, God, will you help me even in this moment? Oh, imagine that soldier constantly had someone else carry his weapons and gear for him. He'd be in trouble when the enemy comes. Some burdens we have to put on our shoulder and carry, but they are not grievous and they are not tormenting. But like the yoke of our Savior, they are easy and they are light. I have found the burdens that God requires of us are easy and they are light. If you are tormented by the burden, if you're in turmoil because of the burden, that's not the burden that I speak of that we are to shoulder. That's the burden that we're getting ready to come to. Number three, some burdens are best shed. Some are shared, some are shouldered, but some are best shed. For this, I would like to depart from the book of Galatians and look at the verse we read in the book of Psalms just a few minutes ago. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's some of you, I believe, here tonight that are bearing burdens. There are personal burdens. There are shared burdens. These are burdens nonetheless. And when we're all designed for a certain capacity, and beyond that, we need help. And as you look at Psalm 55, and you remember who I said wrote it? You can see it there in your Bible. It's David. You know what? He was a king when he wrote this. He's a wealthy man. He was a man after God's own heart. He had the wisdom of age on his side. But can I tell you tonight, burdens come to kings as much as they come to beggars. Saints and sinners alike have heavy loads to bear. Old and young both have their own burdens to bear. But aren't you glad we don't have to bear our burdens alone? Aren't you glad we don't have to shoulder them by ourselves? Not only do we have brothers and sisters who will help share our load, but we have a God who has personally promised to help carry the load with us. Man, to think of a God that would not just save us, but He said, I'll shoulder underneath the burden with you. Oh, that's something to think about. David declared this, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. Now notice, David does not promise that when we cast our burden upon the Lord that He's going to take every burden away. You know what he says? He said He will sustain you. You know what the word sustain means? It was an architectural term in the Hebrew. It means to support, to maintain, or to nourish. In other words, it's the idea of this. When you see a portion of a building that was buckling under a load, they'd take a beam and they'd put it underneath of it and they would say, that beam is sustaining or it's supporting that section of the wall. You know what I found? There's times that God doesn't necessarily take the burden away, but when I cast it on Him, oh, you know what I find Him doing? I find Him picking me up, oh, in His powerful arms. I find Him wrapping me around in His love. I find him sustaining me. The burden may not be any lighter, but I feel strength that I didn't have before. And you know what I find in those moments? Oh, I can run and not grow weary. I can walk and not faint. I can mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, and soar. Why is it? Because God came underneath me. He held me up by the power of his hand. Oh, yes. To support, to maintain, to nourish. I may have shared the story here. We're getting ready to close tonight. Brother Tom to start making his way to the piano. In 1894, Pastor Elisha Hoffman visited a woman who was in great pain, dealing with chronic pain. She was very discouraged. During the course of his visit there, he began to talk to the lady, and she began to share with him all of the things that she was facing in her life. The problems, the pain, the issues, the circumstances. And he said, I felt of the Lord just to ask her one question. Have you taken it to Jesus? He said, and the look of shock came across the lady's face. She said, you know what? I have not thought to take it to Jesus. She said, that's what I do. I must tell Jesus. That's why we sung that tonight. It was on my heart. Because as he went home, that word began to ring through his mind. I must tell Jesus. And he went home and penned the words to that hymn that we sung tonight. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I must tell Jesus. Oh, I love the words to that hymn. We sung it tonight, and I can't quote it without reading it, so I'll just read it to you. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. In the second verse, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Why? Because there are some that we can share with others. There's some we got to shoulder ourselves. But while yet there are others that we shed, we cast them down unto the Lord. And you know what? There's sometimes he takes it and we walk away without that burden. But there's other times we get down there and we find him place the pack back on our back. But this time, we're not crushed by it. This time, we feel strength infused on the inside. And oh, we are reminded of the words of John when he's writing to that young church there as an old man. And he says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Anybody ever experienced that? I know you have, because there's some that we lay upon the Lord and he puts it back on us and we feel the strength to carry on. Can we stand this evening? Oh, I want to conclude tonight by first asking if we're paying attention to others so that we can help share some of their load. Are you paying attention? Have you been looking? Do you know some of the burdens? Are we so overwhelmed with our own load that we've missed those around us? I'd like to also say to those who have heavy loads tonight, some you have to shoulder, but there's no need in bearing it alone. Just because you have to bear it doesn't mean you bear it by yourself. And if you think that you have to bear it by yourself, oh, the devil has lied to you. Oh, if you can share it with others. But most importantly, share it with him. Oh, you will find that the load becomes much more manageable and maneuverable when you share it with the Lord and with others. You don't have to handle life's heavy loads alone. He will uphold you and support you, and we will share it as best we can. As we come to the end of this message tonight, I got one verse I'm going to read, and then we're getting ready to find a place to pray. I thought about this verse.
Isaiah 53, oftentimes we focus in on all of the things that Christ, that Isaiah prophesies there about Christ's first coming and how he's going to have upon him the iniquity of us all. He's going to carry these things from us. God's going to place upon him the iniquity of us all. But aren't you glad it wasn't just iniquity that the Bible says he bore? Isaiah 53 and 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and he hath carried our sorrows. I got a burden-bearing Savior and he cares. And not only does he care, but he carries our sorrows. He shoulders our griefs and he walks with it with us. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Tom's playing something softly. We're getting ready to pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, there's no reason why anyone should have to bear burdens alone. Lord, help us to look around and not be so encaptured by our own burdens and our own problems and our own worries that we miss the opportunity to share the burdens of others. Because number one, they're part of the family. Number two, it fulfills the law of Christ to love our neighbor as ourself. Lord, there are other things we just got to bear. But oh, those things are blessings, not really burdens. And finally, Lord, I'm so glad that regardless of what we face, we can cast all of our burdens upon you. And when we do so, we will find that you sustain us, you uphold us, you bolster us, and you strengthen us. And I pray tonight that you'd minister to each heart. Here tonight, can we find a place to pray? I believe, regardless of where you are as a believer, this message has found you in some place. Either you're one that needs to help bear the burdens of others. Maybe you're trying and you want to do a better job at it. Maybe you're one who says, I'm bearing a burden tonight. And I want to remind you ever so tenderly, you do not bear it alone. You do not bear it alone. You're part of the family tonight. Not only part of the family, but you have Christ as a Savior. And he don't just bear sin. He bears the burdens of grief. He's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Thank God. Hallelujah.